Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday, March 27th edition of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I'm your host, Harris, and today I'm back with my guy Ramiz after a week or so off in which he went solo. I was off. Stuff happens. But we are back on here to take on a 10-game slate on the back of what was a relatively mild 4-game slate the night before, but still left us with a lot to be able to dissect. Kenny and I went almost 50 minutes on that. So you know, there's just a lot of back and forth, a lot of different ways to be able to go ahead and approach it. But Ramiz, looking at a 10-game slate over here, looking at a lot of potential options. But you know, how's things been with you? I know you've been a little busy with everything else that's going on your life. But how are you looking about the slate? How are things treating you overall?
I think we've had a reoccurring issue where me and you, I mean, not an issue, but I guess me and you always get the same players. So I'm hoping in this 10-game slate we have a different variety, but I think
challenge accepted.
The same. So I think we're still going to have a few similar picks for hopefully some different ones.
I mean, look, in the end, as long as the players that are being brought out are the ones performing, does it really matter if it's, you know, hey, I think that's a good guy too. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And you know what? Kay did kill it that night. So I'm okay with going about having those kind of picks back and forth. And if I recall, I called Chet Holmgren that night and he went absolutely off. So I was very excited about that pick and worked out well for me as well.
Oh, but don't forget about my Patty Mills pick. Yeah, like 21 DK fantasy points.
That is true. Yes, Patty Mills 3, did come from the grave and dropped that solid shooting night. And I believe Kenny picked him yesterday as well. So clearly some love coming out here for our good old veteran Aussie. But that doesn't stop us from jumping into yet another slate with a lot of different ways to be able to go about dealing with it. Obviously, some of the teams that did play on Tuesday are coming in with a back-to-back here, so always leaves a little bit to consider as far as availability and minutes and all are concerned. But more so than that, it's really just some of these spreads that we're going to get into. Before we jump into all of it, though, as always, get yourself subscribed to that Sports Ethos DFS Pass. If you haven't, get to sportsethos.com. Look at all the amazing content that's there, including the DFS delivery, which tomorrow will be written by yours truly. So, you know, no subtle plug over there. The wager pick'ems, the connection, of course, on the Discord so that you can ask the pros all the way up until lineup lock. Just exactly what is going to make all the difference as far as last-minute changes, last-minute injuries are concerned. And, of course, as far as injuries go in general, you definitely don't want to go anywhere without the Sports Ethos live injury report that is always your key to be able to stay on top of all of these kind of last-minute pullouts and anything else that could potentially affect your DFS lineup. But let's jump right into it with the point guards. First of all, and I'm starting right at the top over here, I feel like this is just a theme for me where we're talking revenge games, we're talking underpriced, and we're talking James Harden. And he's sitting here at 8,300 at this point, which is, in fact, his lowest price tag in, if I'm looking correctly, since January the 27th, which, I mean, obviously it's coming on the back of some, I would say, down. I wouldn't even want to call it down performance. He still had 3 out of the last 5 games where he had 41 plus DK points on here, which obviously at an 8,300 price tag is a very safe floor to be able to work with. And even though he hasn't really shot it well over the last 3 games, what he has still continued to find himself is all those different ways to be able to contribute, be able to put up big assist numbers, which he continues to obviously do, but also just overall stats stuffing across the board. His steals and blocks continue to be a consistent source of great great DFS stats for you. And then he's also not too hard to be able to rack up big rebounding numbers as well. So we're looking at, you know, a rematch between the Clippers and Philadelphia, obviously a bit of a revenge game that goes with that as well. Didn't have the greatest shooting night when they went against them a couple of nights ago, but still ended up with a pretty decent night overall as far as his DK points are concerned. So I'm expecting that now that he's going back into Philly, likely in a pretty hostile environment where after what ended up happening over the last season, I'm sure there's going to be some boo birds and all going out there for him. And Harden, for his credit, is going to be looking to kind of take that and make it a little bit of an incentive for himself. So I do expect him to put up a good performance over here. Again, 8,300 just gives you so much upside as far as what his consistency has been. You don't need to worry too much about him having a complete dud night, especially given the matchup over here. And it's, again, we talk about certain teams that are still very much incentivized to be able to go ahead and make sure that they stay on top of their wins totals, their standings and everything. And the Clippers are very much one of those teams that are absolutely fighting it out, sitting in that and a fifth seed, really at the same level as the Pelicans. And they'd love to be able to get into that fourth seed there and have home court advantage going into that that first round as well. So I expect they're going to come out all guns blazing here. Going a little bit further down into my mid-tier pick, and I'm going all the way down to 5,900 for a OKC man who is going to be on a back-to-back here. But much as I called yesterday for Josh Giddey to have a big night against the Pelicans, which he in fact did, got to play 30 minutes, put up 25, 9, and 4 en route to an excellent night for his price tag. He's going to come up in another very fun matchup for him going up against Houston. And back-to-back, not really a huge concern as far as someone like Josh Giddey is concerned, who's been in a kind of middling space as far as minutes are concerned, around that kind of mid to high 20s, sometimes getting into the 30-minute mark. But his ability to just stuff the stat sheet across the board, be a triple-double threat on a nightly basis, continues to be the case. And it looks like OKC are starting to kind of get him back into his regular groove as far as his contributions, his offensive role, and everything else is concerned, which was a little bit of a weird spot for him kind of going earlier on into the start of 2024. But at 5,900, he just now gives you incredibly solid upside. That 40 DK point night is absolutely a possibility going up against a fast-paced team and a guard-oriented team like the Houston Rockets are, especially now with the injury to Sengun, and them just continuing to find more ways to be more kind of perimeter-heavy in their offense and defense. So Giddey should find himself very much involved heavily in what we're seeing here. And the last one, it's funny that we mentioned Cade right off the bat to be able to start it, but he is coming questionable in this game with some knee problems, a potential rest game sitting out for him. And to Cade's credit, he's been a bit of an Iron Man this season, continuing to play even despite, you know, his team obviously not being anywhere near its top level as far as performance is concerned. And obviously Detroit in general is looking to towards a, I don't even want to call it a rebuild, it's just continuously where they are. They need to obviously find something. But what that does do is allow for someone like a Malachi Flynn, who's sitting at 3,700 all the way at the bottom over there, to be in a role where he's playing anywhere between 25 to 30 minutes. And he has done that 2 games in a row now, sitting with 2 very solid performances, 31.5, 29.5 DK points there. And for him still to be in that out of sub 4,000 range, I think this is a free box that you can go ahead and check in, especially if Cade does officially sit out for the game there. So definitely want to keep an eye out on that going into the lineup lock itself and make sure that everything's working out as far as lineups are concerned. But I'm going to go ahead and say that Cade is probably going to find himself sitting out this game, and that should give Malachi another opportunity to be able to put up 30 plus, which is exactly what you want at that price tag.
Interesting picks. I think we can go ahead and say I had no similar picks, so this will be interesting because
let's go.
I decided to go with a different approach. I decided to go with players on odd streaks. Of course, you went with the revenge storyline. I'm going with the winning streak storyline, which is Tyrese Haliburton and the Indiana Pacers, because they've been on a absolute tear. I mean, they've been beating a good amount of teams. I think they did lose against the Lakers, if I'm not mistaken. But they did beat the Clippers. And generally, I mean, Haliburton's kind of come back into form. I guess that was it, like pre-Siakam trade form or pre-injury form, I would say. And he's been getting these high gains. He's been able to get around 60 DK fantasy points depending on the opponent. And of course, Chicago is an interesting one because I don't think many people will go for his pick because Chicago is, I guess, a team that kind of slows the pace down, not allowing those opportunities. But I think Indiana will still be able to continuously play their game. And I think, obviously, everyone knows Chicago is still competing for the play-in, of course. So I think this game should hopefully be somewhat competitive, at least till the fourth quarter, especially because it might be because the game is also happening in Chicago. So I think that plays a factor as well. My mid-tier pick was a player who I guess I'm just taking a chance here, and that's with Scoot Henderson, right? Because Malcolm Brogdon and Fernie Simmons and I think Shaedon Sharpe are all still injured. So I think Scoot Henderson at this point in the season, just play him like 30-plus minutes. I don't see a reason why you shouldn't play him, regardless if it's a close game or a blowout. I mean, this is a time period where he should be learning as such. And he's had some great games. Two out of the last three games he's had. Denver and Clippers had amazing games. Even against the Houston game that they had last one, had a solid stat line, but I guess efficiency-wise is where he struggles and turnovers is where he struggles. But at 6,100, I think I'm willing to take that chance on the upside that you could possibly bring with him. Going against a team that's like Atlanta, who I don't think is like a defensive juggernaut or anything, who are also not good. So I think Scoot Henderson should definitely have a chance to at least have a high-minute game and hopefully have a whole lot of usage in this attacking the basket constantly. And then my budget pick, actually, I did have another pick in the 7,000s range, which this was like a, I guess, extra pick because I really liked him at this price range. And that was Darius Garland at 7,400. Of course, Donovan Mitchell, I think, is still out. And I wouldn't say Darius Garland is kind of back to that form, but he's been having these games where he does play really solid basketball. Especially because they are going against Charlotte, who's not a great NBA team, and played them last game and had a blowout, and he still played around 33 minutes. So I think this price range is kind of safe, and I think it's also one of those players that have, similar to what I said about like school, who can have these high upside games. I mean, Darius Garland not too long ago had a 60 DK fantasy point game, and I think without Donovan Mitchell, it always means he has a lot more responsibilities in not only scoring the basketball, but assisting the big men, of course, in Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. So I think, of course, in this type of matchup, I think Darius Garland, you should expect another great performance. And then lastly, my budget pick was someone who, I don't know if you remember, used to be around the 6,000s range early in the season. That was Cole Anthony. The guy is now at 4,400. And I mean, he has, I think, struggled, of course. But in the past few games, he's kind of gotten back into form. I mean, maybe perhaps even better than form. He's got around 38 DK fantasy points, averaging around like, I want to say 16 points, like 6 rebounds and like 5 assists. And against Golden State, I think he should be able to continue that. I mean, they don't really have any perimeter defenders around that guard area, I mean, besides Gary Payne the second. But I think those defenders might be more occupied with the likes of Paolo or Franz Wagner. So I think Cole Anthony should be able to continuously do what he's been able to do in this past few games and hopefully keep up that same momentum that he's had. I mean, the Orlando team has been playing some pretty solid basketball, and you're hoping they can carry that same momentum against the struggling Golden State Warriors because they might not be in the play-in.
Yeah, I like it. I think there's a lot to unpack over there with quite a few of the opportunities that you went into. So I do like that we're kind of thinking on different lines over here, but definitely some solid picks and some solid reasoning for it. So we'll have to see how that works out as we go on into the 10-game slate. Moving into the shooting guard side over here, and I'm going to start off just by saying that I'm really not interested in any of these 8,000-plus options as far as the shooting guard side is concerned. And frankly, that's going to be the case for a couple of positions over here, because I do think there is very decent value to be had at that kind of mid-tier spot and be able to take advantage of those and potentially spend up in some of the other areas that I will talk about as we go on. But starting up at the mid-tier area over here at 6,900, it's just really hard to be able to not look at what Dante DiVincenzo has been doing over the last couple of games now and really just bet against that. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to drop 11 three-pointers the way that he did against Detroit or that he's going to end up on 53 DK points as he did the night before against Brooklyn. But what we are seeing, especially with OG already ruled out, which is a bit of a sad thing for me, because we obviously wanted to see OG back in Toronto for the first time after his trade. But really, he has been the primary beneficiary, and he has been just shooting lights out since he's gotten that increased opportunity in the starting lineup with the New York Knicks. And for just how well he's been over the last little bit, it's just hard to be able to bet against him. I think 6,900 is a good price tag where you'll get kind of a decent amount of ownership without it being overwhelming, given how well he has been playing. And of course, some people will have a little bit of a fear about what the Toronto Raptors game is going to look like as far as a game total is concerned. But what we have seen is, regardless of everything else, he is playing those big minutes because he is kind of their relied upon defender alongside Josh Hart in that perimeter, that they'll just go ahead and be able to allow him to play big minutes, not necessarily be always hugely involved with the offense, but clearly that hasn't been the case over the last two games where he shot 20 plus field goal attempts in each of those. So I'd love for that to continue and for him to continue putting up the kind of scoring numbers he has been as of late. But even without that, his floor is pretty secure into those high 20s, low 30s, given what his current role is in the offense. So really, you just hope that a couple more of those three-pointers can continue to go. He can keep up that streak of three plus threes that he's basically been on since the 16th of March. So 10 straight days where he's been just gunning from outside. So let's hope he can keep that going. I expect this is going to be a price tag where he can get to 40 plus yet again. Looking at the other side of it, and funny enough, all my shooting guard picks are actually going to stick into that New York-Toronto game. First off, it's going to be Gary Trent Jr., which, again, 6,300. It's just one of those same situations where it's just out of everyone that's just been out, it was just a tight scenario in which Gary Trent has really been thrust into the primary offensive option.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For this Toronto Raptors team, which is obviously on its last legs as far as rotations are concerned, it's really him and Kelly Olynyk that are really running everything as far as the pure shooting is concerned on the Toronto Raptors. So for him, who's had 17 plus free field goal attempts in four out of his last five games, has been averaging about 34 DK points in that time as well, 6,300 just remains a very solid price tag where you know you can feel pretty confident on him not only hitting that that salary, but should be able to go ahead and get past it as well in a matchup that should be hopefully a little bit more open and exciting as far as this current New York team without everyone that they obviously have on their end. That would make it a little bit more of a kind of defensive juggernaut, which they will be when they are fully healthy. And then finally, as far as the value side of things is concerned, again, sticking with that same game, as I mentioned, but this time going all the way to 4,100 for Javon Freeman Liberty, who's kind of been thrust into that starting point guard role for the Toronto Raptors with quickly obviously being out and really no major backups there in place to be able to run fully as far as the offense is concerned. So he's found himself in a role where he's playing anywhere between 25 to 29 minutes on there. May not necessarily be putting up eye-popping numbers as far as kind of rebounds, assists, or there kind of across the board, but he is just giving you those little contributions, and he's getting himself a very decent scoring binge in that time as well, getting to double digits in two out of his last three games, double digit field goal attempts as well, which is exactly what you want to see for a guy in that value spot. So I said New York Toronto is kind of dominating my shooting guard picks over here, and that's where I'm going to be looking as far as that position is concerned.
Well, you're not the only one who's going to mention a whole lot of New York Toronto players, not just in the shooting guard spot, but I guess in the rest of the state as well. Spoiler alert. But starting off with the budget pick, I mean, Javon Freeman Liberty, you mentioned just getting a lot more minutes, been scoring the ball pretty efficiently, double-digit field goals in 2 out of the last 4 games. Overall, he's been pretty solid. And at 4,100, I mean, pretty nice price tag to go for. I think kind of as what you mentioned in terms of Malachi Flynn as well. I mean, without Quickly and RJ Barrett, like you said, there's been a whole lot of minutes up for grabs. And Javon Freeman-Livery has definitely had a huge grab of those, which is great to see. And especially in this game against New York and Toronto, I think another one of those players who I think, blowout or not, he's going to be playing a good amount of minutes. And hopefully just get around the similar types of numbers to get around 25. DK fantasy points, or even on a maybe perhaps around 30 if he's having a really great performance. I guess going towards my midfield pair, I just had to go with Amaz McBride. Of course, I don't think you can go wrong with any Knicks player. I mean, because we know Tom Thibodeau's been playing them the crazy minutes. Of course, there's always that factor where the Raptors aren't good, so this game might be finished at the first half, but even then, I've noticed Jalen Brunson in blowouts against Detroit played around 30 minutes. So I think that's a low-minute game in terms of Jalen Brunson. But Miles McBride, I mean, talking about minutes, I mean, this guy's been averaging like 46, 47 minutes per game. I think you mentioned OG being out. Of course, Randall, we know. It's been a really tough Knicks situation, but they've been making the best of it. A whole lot of players have stepped up. I mean, you mentioned DiVincenzo, and Miles McBride has been among the others as well. He's priced at 5,600, and he's one of those guys who has kind of been filling, I want to say, that Emmanuel Quickly role, who's been that scorer. I want to say off the bench, but he's been playing so many minutes, I don't know if that makes sense. But generally, just been really scoring the ball. Not off as hot as Dante DiVincenzo, but at 5,600, I think he's still been solid. I mean, getting around double-digit field goal attempts, definitely not shy from shooting that three-point shot. And once again, in this Tom Thibodeau system, you can expect them to play almost every minute of the game. And in the case, if it does get out of reach, I still think Miles McBride might get a lot more shots, maybe a lot more activity from him, which might be a really good thing to see at that price. And then I decided to go for a Paul George at 8,500, a player who hasn't had quite the amazing games in the past two ones against Indiana and Philly, but I still think he should be able to get back to form, which he was prior to that, which was around 50 DK fantasy points. It's just amazing basketball. Of course, I think there's been a trend where when he plays really good basketball, I mean, it's just a really tough game, really hard game for him to lose. Of course, in this time of the season, he usually doesn't play, but he's been really active. I want to say been probably playing better than Kawhi in this run, of course, in this time where this Clippers team has been struggling. But, generally, that doesn't stop Paul George from still getting his numbers. So I'm thinking hopefully in this Philadelphia game, he should be able to kind of get back into form. And hopefully this Clippers team in general can come back into form, because it'd be great to see them coming back into playoffs with some actual expectations.
Expectations and Clippers definitely do not go hand in hand, because they will always let you down. Well, let's see if that changes this season. Moving into the small forward side of things, and sticking with the Clippers right off the bat over here, there's actually a bunch of twins that I do like here at that 8,400 price tag. We're going to start off with Kawhi Leonard at that 8,400 price. And, you know, similar situation as what I mentioned with James Harden right off the rip with this podcast here, is just the price tag puts him in a position where the upside is worth taking from a scenario where the floor is quite secure. Now, for Kawhi Leonard, who has been, I don't want to say passive, because he's still been putting up 20 plus points over there, but what has been a little bit on the downside from what we were seeing early on in the season was his kind of big numbers as far as rebounds and assists were concerned, especially a little bit earlier on, where he was regularly getting 5+ assists, which really did help a lot as far as his entire fantasy stat line is concerned. So for him to be sitting in that 8,400 mark, where he probably will need to put up something like a 25, 5-5 night to be able to go ahead and have a pretty decent run for his price tag there, I think this is a matchup where he should be able to do that. I expect that Philly at home will continue to be that little bit peskier than they are on the road. And Philly in general just continues to find ways to be able to just kind of keep themselves alive in that postseason play-in area so that they can just be there, so that if, by the time Embiid gets back, which we are hoping is going to be happening in the next couple of weeks, they'll give themselves that opportunity to, you know, shock the world and make a run with everyone being healthy. So let's see what that looks like as far as Philly's concerned. But for them, every game is important. They can't afford to be losing as many as they are. And they're obviously sitting in that eighth seed at the moment. So very precarious as far as this positioning is concerned. All of that does spell hopefully good news as far as Kawhi is concerned, where we're hoping he can play his regular kind of 34, 35 minutes and as a result be able to put up the numbers that we're expecting to see. He's been shooting well enough over the last little bit. We're just hoping that he can kind of make that mix with some of those kind of supporting stats that we've seen pretty consistently earlier on the season and seem to be a little bit on the downturn as of late. So hopefully a bit of a turnaround is on the map over here. At the same time, looking at that other side of the 8,400, which I'm looking at DeMar DeRozan, who I haven't necessarily been taking too much of, just because I'm always afraid as far as kind of what Chicago's rotations and their overall offensive usage is looking like. But DeMar just continues to buck that trend over here and now has had two straight games of 49-plus DK points. Three out of his last five games are there. And he's just continued to show incredible consistency and upside for a guy who's still been sitting in that same kind of high 7,000s to low 8,000s price range. So in an Indiana matchup, which is likely going to be one of the higher-paced ones, as it's consistently the case when Indiana plays, but what also helps is that Indiana on the road is only favored to win by 2.5 coming into this. So even though I don't want to go too deep on the game script, what you are hoping for is that this is going to be a close game going in, that DeMar is going to have to play his regular allotment of kind of big minutes as he had in the last couple of games against both Boston and Washington, where he played 42 and 38 minutes respectively. So if he can get somewhere in that same range, I expect that being able to get 42 plus, which is really kind of a baseline for 5X over here, should be a pretty achievable goal for him, with yet another opportunity to get somewhere near 50, which is always exactly what you want. And then my last kind of mid-tier pick over here, and this is more a reaction to what has been a pretty sizable drop in price for Franz Wagner. He's gone all the way from that high 7,000s down to 6,400 here. And, you know, similar to what I've kind of mentioned at different points throughout the season when I've talked about him, is he really just needs to continue to find himself in a more aggressive state. He'll have so many times where he'll just score pretty much what he gets in the entire game, like 18, 20 points. He'll score 16 of those in the first half, and then he'll just decide to chill and defer to his teammates for the remainder of the game, which is just incredibly frustrating to watch, both live because I actually enjoy Franz Wagner playing, but also just from an Orlando offensive standpoint. I understand that you know, Banchero is your guy and everything's kind of running through him, but they're not going to be nearly as successful as they want to be without Franz Wagner being that legit secondary option for them. And for a guy who's averaging pretty much 20 points a game this season, he'd probably be one of the last names on your mind if someone was to ask you to name all the guys that are in kind of that 20 plus range. So it just comes down to, you know, asserting himself and continue to be that that offensive force that he absolutely can be, while also continuing to put up those supporting stats that we have seen kind of throughout the season as well. So I think this price tag, specifically here in a matchup against the Warriors, who are on a back-to-back, so that you know, is hopefully going to put another opportunity for the Orlando Magic to put up not only a win here, which is obviously going to keep them in that top four seed race. They're just a game behind the New York Knicks at the stands, but also for Franz Wagner to be that little bit more impactful on offense against the Warriors team that could potentially be a step slower as far as their offense is concerned. And really, that's kind of where I'm sitting. The two expensive guys and the one mid-tier, I don't really have too many that I'm super interested in as far as the value side is considered here. I may have some that are coming up in the next position instead.
Some interesting picks. I'll start off, I guess, a similar path as you did, which was DeMar DeRozan at 8,400. Like you said, it's been difficult because, of course, Chicago could sometimes... I mean, Chicago's been having a lot of great games. I want to say towards the end of the season. It's been kind of entertaining. And, of course, against Indiana, I can never not mention pace. And I think DeMar DeRozan's also had a really great game against them in the past where he shot 17 free throws, I think. Of course, I think he should be able to put up, I mean, not that same stat line, but I think you should put something along this, I guess, on a similar like stat line as that, but not to that extent. Because once again, they don't really have defenders who I think who could guard DeMar DeRozan. I think they do have, I guess, Pascal and Neesmith, but you know, DeMar is a much tricky player to guard, and I think he's
probably still going to be able to get to his spots and probably get to the free throw line. And so I think he should be able to get around that 40-plus DK value. So at 8,400, I still like that price tag for him. Another guy who you mentioned, I guess, at the shooting guard spot, DiVincenzo. Not going to speak too much about him, but, I mean, he's been an absolute here. I mean, and once again, Tom Thibodeau system playing 40 minutes. You love to see it. He's got 50 DK fantasy points in the past two games. You're hoping, once again, I mean, both those games, too, were, I want to say, close games. Detroit was definitely a blowout. They beat them by 25 points. So you're hoping, I mean, DiVincenzo against this Raptors team, who are probably going to allow a good amount of threes, not a lot of defense played from our players. So DiVincenzo should be able to at least have a chance to replicate these stat lines, hopefully. But, of course, it would be difficult. But I think as long as he can get some great contribution in terms of getting around 20-plus points, maybe the similar amount of rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. I think you also mentioned the fact that he's been among one of their best defenders along Josh Hart because of the absence of OG, and he's been needed in that case. So I think he's definitely had that edge, not to mention double-digit field goal attempts and 23-point attempts against Detroit, which was crazy. So I think it honestly wouldn't be surprising if you saw him attempting the same amount of shots against Toronto, because he will definitely be getting those shots, and they're most likely going to be open. Another player you mentioned, Franz Wagner at 6,400. Like you said, I mean, Franz Wagner, it just depends on how he plays. I've noticed that passiveness as well when I've watched his games, because it makes no sense. I think beginning of the season, I was loving his play because he was doing exactly what he was drafted for. I mean, his strengths, I mean, in terms of, I guess, his floater game, his playmaking. And now it's kind of just been pretty quiet. I mean, he's getting you, like you said, the 18 points, but 3 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, these aren't the stat lines he was quite putting up early on. I think there was games where he was even putting up high in the teens in terms of field goal attempts, because it kind of felt like it was him and Paolo, but now they kind of resorted to just Paolo and then the rest, which I don't think is the identity of this Magic team. I think, once again, like you said, I mean, this team is going to go as far in terms of how Franz and Paolo play. And Franz is a huge player with a huge amount of impact. So I think he definitely needs to be a lot more aggressive. And I think in this game against Golden State, I think the opportunity will be there. And I think the East standings are pretty close. I don't know how close they are, but I think Orlando is in the mix of it. So Orlando should be taking the end of the game serious to at least make sure you're in the right momentum heading into the playoffs. So Franz Wagner at 6,400 is a player I like at this price tag. And I think because of his recent play, might not have a lot of ownership. And then lastly, my budget pick, I guess this is where I'm going to try to do some game scripting and most likely fail, but let me go for it anyways. And that's Nickeil Alexander-Walker at 4,400 against Detroit. Minnesota should essentially blow out this team, of course. You mentioned if Malachi Flynn is playing 30 minutes, I don't think that's a good sign for Detroit. So Nickeil Alexander-Walker in this game should hopefully get a good amount of minutes and hopefully be aggressive and maybe get a good amount of usage out of him, a good amount of shot attempts. But like I said, this is all in the case that Minnesota gets that early lead and allows these guys to play a good amount of minutes.
Yeah, I like it. And hey, I guess we were finally back on the same page there, so we're going to have to see how both DeMar and Wagner work out, because obviously both recommending them both highly here, so it'd be disappointing for them both to have duds. But hey, that stuff can happen. Where I am hoping that I can continue on with my hot streak is clearly picking Wiggins at the right times. Now, you shouted him out yesterday as a big option for his price tag, and he clearly came through with a very solid 17-7 game in today's matchup. And really, a back-to-back doesn't affect him nearly as much as potentially it could affect some of the guards that are obviously more active and running around at all times. As far as Wiggins is concerned, not only his minutes total, but just in general, his overall kind of usage is definitely lower than it has been in previous seasons. But that has still gotten him into that kind of place to be able to play that 25 to 30 minutes on a pretty consistent basis as they kind of round him up into form. Now, this, you know, we spoke about the Warriors and Magic game. Warriors on a back-to-back over here. The Magic are favored to win by 6.5 in a 218 game total over here. But, you know, Wiggins, I wouldn't even say it's a revenge game anymore. It's just, I mean, it's just one of those things where he goes ahead and likes to play up against Orlando. And this season, he hasn't had a big game against them. He only dropped 17 DK points last time around he played, while last season he actually had some pretty monster games to go with that. So hopefully he can get himself back into some of that form over here. Again, that price tag is low enough where, you know, he has been pretty consistently able to get into the low 20s, so I'm not too worried about the floor over here. But what I am hoping is that we can see something similar to what he did in that Memphis game, where on a 29-minute night, he was able to go ahead and put up 14 shots and obviously ended up with a 40-plus game over here. And if there's any kind of positivity we've seen in the last couple of back-to-backs, is that his minutes total has been pretty consistent from one game to the other. So we're hoping that that isn't going to be an effect coming into this. On the other hand, you know, you spoke a little bit about game scripting over here, and what we did get to see is that New York is definitely kind of rounding into some of their rotations. Obviously, still missing pieces like Randall and. OG as far as their injuries are concerned, but Precious Achiuwa was at one point obviously starting for them with Isaiah Hartenstein still working his way back, who has now kind of reclaimed a spot in the starting lineup. But in games that the Knicks are able to win somewhat convincingly over there, that's where Precious Achiuwa has found himself in that 25 plus minute role while still having somewhere close to the high teens to low 20s even outside of it. Now, if there's anything that Achiuwa is good at, is that he is a good fantasy player from a points per minute perspective over here. So while 4,900 is a little more expensive than I would love to be able to have him at, I wish he was kind of sitting in that low to mid 4,000s instead, then I'd absolutely be saying that he's just a smash pick at this price. But this might keep his ownership a little bit lower while I still expect him to be able to play those mid to high 20 minutes here. I'm not going to pretend like the Raptors are going to be looking to win out this game or even really keep it super close. So I expect that in a double-digit loss, he should find himself in a scenario where he's playing anywhere between that 25 to 26 minutes that we've been seeing in those bigger games. So that should open up an opportunity for a low-end double-double for him. He could get a couple of other assists, steals, and blocks to kind of round out that stat line. So a 30-plus night isn't off the cards as far as he's concerned. So definitely someone to keep an eye on. And then just to kind of point it out over here, because we've obviously spoken about a bunch of small forwards that also have that power forward eligibility, I purposely didn't speak about Siakam while I was talking about small forwards, because I wanted to spend a little bit more time on his side over here, where he's had, I want to say, middling games against the Chicago Bulls so far this season. He's shot well, and he's overall had a pretty kind of decent run against them, but he's not really put up those big scoring numbers that we would hope to see when we are coming up against a Pascal Siakam, who is, as you kind of said, where Tyrese Halliburton's rounding back into form. Siakam on his end is also kind of rounding into his complete role over here, and he is now a lot more comfortable with what we've been seeing as of late. So not only are his rebounding numbers up, which is absolutely a big piece of what Siakam is able to do, but also his pure field goal attempts are getting consistently closer to that 20 a game where we're hoping to see. Four out of his last five games have been 46 plus DK points, and he hasn't really had a dud of a game in almost a month. I think March 1st, where he had that that bad game against the Pelicans, is really the last time we've had a bad effort out of him. So 8,100, there's few guys that are safer, in my opinion, for the price tag that they'll get in a high-paced game in a situation where Siakam should be finding himself getting close to 20 shots a game, where they're hoping to kind of continue that winning run against Chicago. And as far as the spreads are concerned, they're only 2.5-point favorites here. So I'm hoping he can play those big minutes as well. So excited to see what he's able to put out here.
Great minds think alike, because I also went for Pascal. I think the power forward position has kind of been the same thing. I feel like every city I always look at, it's just Paolo, Zion, and just the rest. And I think Siakam is always such an amazing pick at his price, especially in this form. I mean, of course, he's not in that 7,000 range where me and you were, I think, were loving it. But he's still relatively close. And I think if he's having these games where he's getting around 55 DK fantasy points against the Lakers and the Warriors, I don't think that should be quite an issue against this Chicago team, especially considering, like I mentioned and you mentioned, Indiana's been in great form. Halliburton's coming back into his bag, and Siakam's, I guess, adjusting to playing like he was before, I guess, all the shenanigans that the Raptors faced.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So it's good to see, and at the end of the season, and I think, like I said, Chicago, I think, is still not a team that you can completely blow out, but I think it could be relatively close, which allows Siakam to put up some great numbers, not only for like a good for like half the game, but for hopefully all four quarters. And then in my mid-tier pick, I decided to go with DeAndre Hunter. This was, I guess, a lot more difficult to come up with a mid-tier pick, in my opinion. But DeAndre Hunter has been playing solid basketball. Hopefully, I think this was not a great season for him. I think he fell with injuries. I think, of course, my boy, DraftKings legend Sadiq Bey took his spot as well for a good minute. But DeAndre Hunter has been playing some great basketball now, and he's obviously taking some bold shots because he took a three-point shot while winning by 1 point, but he ended up hitting it because that's the type of form he's in right now, especially that was against the Celtics. So I think against Portland, he should be able to continue that momentum and hopefully continue playing the way he's been playing, hitting around double-digit field goal attempts, which he's been doing for, like, I want to say, like 10 to 12 games, of course, with the absence of Trae Young, a whole lot of shots has definitely opened up, and DeAndre Hunter has definitely been taking advantage of it. And then lastly, my budget pick is Jayshon Tate. Of course, Houston has, I think, on an 8-game win streak, was it? Or something along the lines of that. And with the absence of Sengun, and of course, I think Jabari Smith Jr. now suspended as well. Some players are going to have to step up, and I think Jayshon Tate at 3,400 is definitely a player who is going to take up a good good portion of his minutes. Not to mention, I forgot to mention you guys as well, but Cam Whitmore and Tari Eason are also all injured. So I think you're looking at a rotation of Dylan Brooks. I think he's coming back from suspension. Jock Landale, Jeff Green, and Jayshon Tate at the 4 and 5, which is going to be quite interesting going against Chet Holmgren. But I think at 3,400, I think he should be playing a good portion of minutes, and hopefully he can get some great upside from that pick.
Yeah, I like it. I think there's some good upside to be found in someone like a Jayshon Tate, or really some of these other supporting pieces of Houston who have gotten expanded roles over here. So definitely like that thought process. Finally, moving into the center side of things over here, and really starting from the top. Now, I do want to kind of throw out there that I'm always worried about what the actual spread is going to be whenever anyone's facing the Memphis Grizzlies over here. But, you know, of all the kind of top picks that I'm willing to take, obviously LeBron is also going to be back in this game. I do still find myself going towards Anthony Davis on a pretty much regular basis over here until his price tag gets a little bit higher than what it is now. And really what it's coming down to is he is just on a monster streak as far as his rebounding is concerned. Now, for a guy who's obviously no slouch, averaging about 12 rebounds a game this season, over the last month, he's really taken a big kind of step even further up there. He's had two 20-plus rebound games in the last 15 days, including the one that he just did right now against Milwaukee, which was an absolute monster performance. But for him, his rebounding has consistently been 15-plus over that last period. His shooting has taken a further notch up as far as his efficiency is concerned, where he's been at almost 60% over the last 2 weeks in that time as well. And he's also just continuing to find his ability to affect shots actually come up on the stat sheet. Usually what we've been seeing over the last little bit is that he obviously has big block upside, but a lot of it is just really people are afraid to go in on him on the paint. So as a result, he'll just be deterring shots and that'll go away. But it seems like his actual block numbers are starting to come around as well, where he obviously had his 4-block game a couple of nights ago. Yet in today's game, he had 3 or 4 blocks as well. So it's just a nice kind of turnaround to be able to like the fact that even if he's not necessarily playing, you know, big 30 plus minutes, which on a back-to-back he may find himself playing a little less on. Honestly, even if he can play 31, 32 minutes against a Memphis team that is obviously one of the faster paced teams in the league, but also one of the worst defensive teams in the league that go with it. It's almost like a bit of the Indiana phase there. But what is good is that they've got players like Desmond Bane back in the lineup as well, which hopefully will allow them to keep a little bit further afloat before they obviously eventually do end up losing to the superior team in the Lakers here. So a lot to like as far as I'm concerned with regards to Anthony Davis. And, you know, we haven't really looked at, or at least I personally haven't really looked at some of the huge spend ups as far as this specific slate is concerned. But between him and maybe a little bit of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I didn't really mention as a point guard, but I always do keep in mind as far as certain matchups and how my lineups end up working out to try and include him as well. I think those are the guys that I'll find myself trusting a little bit more as far as these big spend ups are concerned, and see if these value guys can help round them out as well. Moving into that mid-tier, and again, that Indiana-Chicago game continues to provide me with some juicy value, and that really comes with Miles Turner, first of all, where Chicago remains one of his favorite matchups. It's been the case for years, and he's continued that this year as well. Three games already this season, averaging 41 DK points against them, and really, it's very, very repeatable and consistent stats here. His points per games do go up a little bit because he finds himself in better shooting positions, and he has consistently shot better against the Chicago Bulls than he has in other parts of the season. Now, there is a bit of a caveat that in away games that he shoots a little bit worse, but it's still just relatively speaking, he's still averaging about 50% from the field, even away from home. And in the last two games, his three-point shooting has really, again, been on a bit of a hot streak, has hit 4 three-pointers in two games straight. And really, it just comes down to whether he can maintain that same level of consistency and domination in this new Indiana rotation that's been going. And even though his shot totals have kind of been a little bit up and down, he still found himself pretty regularly in that low double-digit shot attempts. And that usually includes about half of those being three-point attempts as well, which he is hitting at about a 38 to 40% clip over the last little bit as well. So a lot to like as far as his kind of upside is concerned. And 6,600 puts him in that position where he could put up 40-plus in yet another consistent performance against the Chicago Bulls here, and not necessarily have to worry about his floor being a dud given the price tag that we're seeing here. And then finally, again, still sticking with the mid-tier, we're going a little bit further down, and that's going to be that Clippers and Philadelphia matchup again, and looking at Paul Reed. And really what it comes down to me is we know for a fact that the Clippers have not only historically, but also this season, been vulnerable to guys who can score on you in the paint. Just in this season alone, he's played them once, only played 24 minutes in that game, was still able to put up a very solid 34.5 DK point night, and really just came across little contributions across the stat board that ended up adding up. And that's really very much what Paul Reed's game is. He doesn't necessarily blow you away in any one stat line. He's not going to end up with like 20 and 10 games all that often, given how he's involved in the offense. But he is going to be usually good for 7 to 8 rebounds, 2 to 3 assists, a block, a steal, and can usually get to 10 to 12 points on the field as well. So it just adds up to a very solid stat line that's usually going to be in the high 20s to low 30s. And for a guy who's sitting at that 5,300 price tag, in a place where a lot of these centers are sometimes a little bit riskier in terms of what they can potentially find themselves, I think Paul Reed is a breath of fresh air in terms of what I can potentially expect. And especially against the Clippers lineup over here, I expect he will have another 30-plus DK points tonight.
Some interesting picks. I think one of my favorite lines about what you said was Anthony Davis, where people don't even end up attacking the paint because they're afraid to be blocked. Because the quick short story was that in fantasy, in the playoffs, of course, two people were tied 4-4, and it came down to blocks. They were tied at that at 30-30. And it was Dinwiddie versus Anthony Davis, and he ended up winning because Dinwiddie got 2 blocks and Davis got 1. And it was so funny because I think that perfectly describes Anthony Davis' defense, but of course he ended up losing him, my guy, in fantasy. So that's quite funny. But of course, I think it's a great pick, but I think it comes down to Memphis hopefully keeping that game competitive. And I think you mentioned, right, Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. are going to have some great performances. And I think LeBron might play as well because he's missing out on this game. And the Lakers, I want to see, are in a situation where they can have these rest games continuously. I decided to go with a different approach. I mentioned Houston's lack of height and depth at that center area. So I decided to go with Chet Holmgren at 7,500. I think 4 out of the past 5 games, he's had like double-digit rebounding games. Of course, he had that game where you ended up picking him for that slate where he had like 60 DK fantasy points. So, I mean, it'd be amazing to have a similar game. I think he should be able to dominate in terms of the post, in terms of rebounding, just due to the height advantage that he's going to have against those Houston Rockets players. Mid-tier, I'm going to mention Isaiah Hartenstein. I mean, this guy's been playing out of his mind in like the 26 minutes he gets from his game. And he's been averaging around like 38 DK fantasy points, I want to say, in the past five games. And he's priced at 5,700. I mean, I guess a lot of people maybe think that he's not going to get that value again. But against Toronto, I mean, going against the likes of Olynyk and who's our backup center now? Because I guess we lost him.
Mamadou Gay!
Exactly. So Isaiah Hartenstein is probably going to look like a top five center against those guys, just based off being a lot more quicker and just being pretty solid overall in terms of everything. I mean, getting your rebounds and getting your free playmaking. And he's getting around like 4 to 6 stocks sometimes. So overall, Isaiah Hartenstein in general has just been playing amazing. I mean, we mentioned a whole lot of Knicks. So I guess shout out to Tom Thibodeau and his system for getting you these high potential DFS games. And then lastly, but not least, my budget pick is Rishon Holmes. This player has been taking advantage of Marvin Bagley's absence. He's been able to rack up like around 35 DK fantasy points, priced at 4,700. I think Marvin Bagley is back, but I think he still started, I think, in that game against the Bulls. And I think he should be able to continuously get that minutes, especially if he's putting up these performances where he's getting around 15 rebounds and double-digit points. Because honestly, at 4,700, if he's continuously getting that, you're still getting around like 30 DK fantasy points. Or in his case, he's been able to get you around 37 or 40 in some cases.
Yeah, I like it. I think there's a lot of upside to be able to look at here. And Isaiah Hartenstein, as you mentioned, just continues to be a dominant player. Hopefully he can keep that up going into the postseason as well, because I do have I have run this like little league that just specifically is in the postseason, and I always end up with Isaiah Hartenstein. So let's see how things end up working out over there. But as far as our entire slate goes, as I said, 10 games, lots of ways to be able to go about going through it. Obviously, both Ramiz and I had a couple of different approaches, but obviously a little bit of synergy in terms of what we were talking about with some of these mid-tier picks. And really, that's what it's going to come down to, right? Making sure that you're looking at the kind of upside that you can get with some of these mid-tier guys, deciding against or for spending up on some of these higher pillar guys where there could be a little bit more risk given some of the spreads that we are seeing. But all in all, what it really does come down to is paying attention all the way up until lineup lock and seeing if there are going to be those last minute changes. And that's where that Sports Ethos DFS pass comes in. So definitely get yourself onto that and also engage with the DFS pros alongside myself at HAK_Devil on both Instagram, on Twitter, catch me on Discord as well, wherever you want to hit me up and tell me about your approaches, you know, how you're liking and how we're going about kind of talking through some of these slates as well. And you know, that's just really what we're all here for. Ramiz, where can the good people find you?
They can also find me at Twitter at TooNice, spelled TO0_Nice_. And yeah, just hit me up if you want to talk hoops or footy. Yep.
Hoops, footy, Champions League draw, whatever's going on, man. It's all just interesting, exciting stuff over here. But as always, we'll catch you on the next one. Ramiz and I are here every Wednesday to be able to break it down. And keep an eye out for that DFS delivery that'll come up early tomorrow as well to really kind of go into a little bit more detail into some of the things that I spoke about with a few of my picks. But until then, we'll catch you on the next one. Let's take down some GPPs.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.